So we are in a sermon series on an ear to hear of what does the Spirit say? Can we hear it? Are we listening? And it's from the book of Revelation, and there are seven letters, little short letters to seven churches, and we're sort of working our way through and saying, well, what does this say to us today? But before we get into that, the scripture passage, I want to put something up and have us think about this saying. It's also in your sermon notes. You can pull those out and look at it. And it's a statement. You do not have to be good to become a Christian, but being a Christian should make you better. Sometimes the world gets that confused and says, oh, well, you've got to get all your stuff together. You've got to be good and right and perfect and look good and do the right things before God will accept you. And it's like, no. God says, you wretch, come on in. You sinner, come on in. You person who realizes how messed up you are, come on in. You don't have to be good to become a Christian. But once you come on in, things should start changing in your life. That you should become more like Christ. Christ was perfect, so there is a progress towards perfection. We don't get there in this life, or at least, John Wesley said you might, but most of us don't get there, but there's this process of becoming better, of sanctification. And there are some things to guide us in this process, and it's called the commands of God. The commands of God are there to help guide us, direct us, shape us. So what are some of the commands of God that might do this? Non-rhetorical question. Yes? Loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yes, when we're keeping our focus and love on God, that's going to make us better. What other things? The Ten Commandments. Give me three of them. Don't kill anybody. Honor your father and mother. Only one God. Don't make idols. Don't misuse the name of the Lord God. Don't misuse His name. Honor the Sabbath. Don't commit adultery. Don't bear false testimony. Yeah, those are things that if you're doing those, you're going to become more in tune with God. You're going to become a better person in those commands. There are all sorts of commands, and some of them are foundational starting ones. It says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Right there, that's a starting command of, oh, there are things we need to believe, there are things we need to do and say. There are just getting going ones of be baptized and learn, but then go and make disciples. We talked about last week some ones that can wake us up spiritually of sing, rejoice, thank, give, pray. Be strong and courageous. Do not turn to the left or to the right. But this morning we have a very special command. Today's special command. It seems like I should have theme music for that or something. Special command of the day is patiently endure. Endure patiently. And this is not something that we think of as necessarily a command of God. Endure patiently. And we might not even want to think of it as a command of God. Because while enduring, if something's fun and easy and light and enjoyable, we don't endure it. So enduring means that there are some things that are less desirable and less fun and less easy. So we have to endure. So it's speaking of not so great stuff and patiently. I mean, come on, we're Americans. Patiently? Anything patiently? I've admitted before, I just love Amazon Prime. I mean, if something doesn't arrive in 2 days, it's like, forever. It's like, wait, shipping is going to arrive in 5 days? I mean, I am old enough to remember when it took like 2 weeks for something to arrive. And that's after you ordered the catalog got mailed to you, you looked through the catalog, you sent the order form in, and then it finally arrived. And now I worry if it's more than 2 days. I just sent a text and they haven't gotten back to me in like 30 seconds. What's going on here? We don't do patiently very well. But a command of the Lord is to endure patiently. So those are the first two blanks in your sermon notes. And we, this morning, I want to think about, well, what type of things should we endure patiently? There are some things that, well, that's just wrong, or that's just destructive, so maybe we don't endure everything patiently, but there are times and places in life that we are called to endure patiently. And then why and how? And the reality is, there are just some things that take time. There are some things that are a process that take time, and we need to endure patiently. So I bring up endure patiently because it's in this letter to Philadelphia. And we're going to hear it now, Revelations chapter 3, 7 through 13. This is not Philadelphia in Pennsylvania. That one's named after this one. This one is in what is now modern Turkey, and it's stop number 6 on the little letter circuit that we've been following around the last few weeks. And it does mean, if you've heard, oh, Philadelphia, city of brotherly love, that's what Philadelphia means, is brotherly love. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are in the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have, so that no one may take away your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in my temple of God. Never again will I leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, the new city of peace, which is coming down out of heaven from my God, and I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of the Lord. I just want to just, it's not in my sermon notes at all, but I just think it's really fascinating. So we're going to do a little sidebar on Philadelphia in this letter. That when you hear in here, well, you're going to be a temple, a pillar. Oh, go back. I will make you a pillar in the temple of God and you'll never leave it again. The city of Philadelphia, about 80 years before this, was plagued by earthquakes. I mean, like earthquake after earthquake after earthquake, and aftershock after aftershock after aftershock. And people ended up having to not live in the city for a period of time because it just wasn't safe. Stuff kept falling on them. You know, you picture ancient, you know, Greece and Turkey and these columns and stuff, and yeah, all that stuff kept crumbling down. And so when this says, I'm going to make you a pillar that's going to be stable, there's like this collective cultural knowledge of saying, oh, that's nice. You'll never have to leave again. Oh, well, we know from our ancestry what it is to always have to leave. So there's all sorts of stuff in these letters that connects to that situation. But I couldn't figure out how to connect that to our situation. So that's just sort of free knowledge for you right now. All right. It says, I know your deeds. See, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. When you come to Christ, when you say, I am turning my life over to God, I am accepting the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus, a door to eternity is open for you. It says, there is an end game, and that door is open, and no one can shut it. Your salvation is secure. Your eternity is secure. But you're not there yet. It's an open door, but you're here, that's there, and there's a path between here and there. So if you're filling in your sermon notes, there's a path between you and the open door. We're called to walk on that path. Walk in a manner worthy of the call to which you've been called. Do not turn to the left or to the right. This is God's way. This is God's path. And that path may sometimes go over here, may go over here. You may stumble and fall. That door is there. We're going to get there. But we are called to navigate and figure out and live in this path by the grace of God. So when we talk about deeds, that's sort of what makes up the path, is what we do, how we live. And it says here that Jesus, He knows their deeds. I know your deeds. Jesus is speaking here. I know your deeds. I've placed this door in front of you, but I know that you have little strength, and yet you've kept my word and not denied my name. So what is Jesus commending here? And what is Jesus saying? Yeah, that's right. You're doing this right. I was looking for a synonym for commending, and I couldn't really find one. Because it's like praising and applauding and recognizing. It's like the word. Jesus is saying yes to these things that they're doing. I know your deeds. And what's the first thing He says? That they've kept His word. You've kept my word. That's the first thing that He says. And then the second is, you've not denied His name. His word and His name. Now, what does that have to do with deeds? This doesn't sound like deeds. This sounds like non-tangible. This sounds like ideas and concepts and theories of words and names. But it's so much more. They've kept His word. Well, what is that when Jesus is talking about? It's His way. It's the things to do. It's to love your neighbor as yourself, to regard others better than yourselves, to forgive as you've been forgiven. These are the things that we do. The keeping His word shows in our lives, in our actions. We're called to do good from faith in Christ. Not to be part of the team, not to make ourselves look good, but in faithful obedience to the commands of Christ. Teaching them to obey all that I've commanded. That's what Jesus calls us to do for each other. And then we keep it. We keep all that He's commanded. So we're called to do this good. That glorifies God. That brings God glory. But also, they have not denied His name. I'm sure you've seen it. Maybe you've been accused of it as like, well, if he's really Christian, he wouldn't do that. You know, well, a good Christian wouldn't do that. Well, the secular world throws that at Christians sometimes, and often it's unfair. So they don't really understand what Christ is calling us to, because sometimes it is calling to discipline. It is calling to clarity. But when we do evil, when we do the things against God, we are denying the name that we accept and we get associated with as Christians. What's the first part of Christian? Christ. All right? And so when we do evil, when we do bad, we're denying that name that's attached to us when we become Christians. Don't deny His name. So He's commending them. He's saying, hey, you've been keeping doing the good stuff and you haven't done the bad stuff. Way to go. This is only one of two letters of the seven where there's nothing bad said about them. Just like, keep going. You're doing it. Even if you have little strength. Even if you have little strength. And that's what I want to talk about right now. We get tired. Because I know you got a little bit of strength. I know you're beaten down. You're tired. You're worn out. We get tired. One response to that can be what we heard the other week. You can just go to sleep. Stop doing anything. I'm tired. I don't want to get up. I don't want to do anything. But that's not what we're called. We're called to wake up. We heard that just the other week. To wake up. To become spiritually awake. And then that plays out in our lives. Even we'll be tired in that. But we're awake. We're not just comatose doing nothing. And then we're doing good. We wake up, we do good, but finally, and it sort of wraps up this thought with this letter here, we wake up, we do good, and then sometimes we just have to hold on. We have to hold on. But as I talked with those kids, if we're doing it all in our own strength, we're going to wear out. We are going to get tired. Our grip is going to let go. And so maybe you're saying, man, I am really tired. And sometimes it's because we're trying to do it all in our own strength. We're not relying on God. We're not saying, where's God's wisdom? Where's God's ways? Where's God's strength? If we're trying to do it all ourselves and be righteous and be good and help others and do all this good stuff all on our own strength, we get tired. Sometimes it's because we're not obeying God's command. Number 4 of the 10 commandments, to honor the Sabbath, to take a rest, to take a break, to rest in the Lord. Not go comatose, but to take a rhythm-balanced life. Sometimes we get tired because we're not resting as we should, both physically and even on the spiritual level of just waiting on the Lord instead of striving. Sometimes we get tired because we're doing the wrong thing. I'm going to move this. Oh, wait, it didn't need to be moved in the first place. Oh, no wonder God kept his foot on it. There are times when we are fighting against what God wants. We are fighting against what should happen. And we get tired because God says, I'm protecting you. Come on, learn the lesson. And God's just like, well, eventually he'll wear out and fall asleep and then we'll wake up and do it again. That sounds like a kid instead. We get tired because sometimes we just need to learn a lesson. But other times, we get tired because life is hard. What God has called us to is long, and it's work. There's a process at play in our lives, and we just sometimes need to hear, endure patiently. Hold on. Will you hear that command that when we don't see an immediate solution, when you don't know how it's going to work out, when you want this person fixed and changed right now, when we want ourselves fixed and worked out right now, we sometimes need to hear God say, just endure patiently. Just stick with it. Just hold on. I'm here with you. I will strengthen you. I will give you what you need for each day if you rely on me. There's a saying that often goes around, God won't give you more than you can handle. That is a lie. God will often give you more than you can handle if you try and handle it yourself. God will never give you more than you can handle when you're relying on God. That's true. But if you're trying to do it yourself, God will say, hey, I'm going to let you get to that end of that rope and see just how long you can hold on to yourself. And eventually you say, I can't do it anymore. I need God. And so it does say in the Bible, God will not test us beyond what we can handle. But to say you're never going to be over your head, No, God sometimes throws us over our heads so that we have to rely on the Lord. And in that, we endure patiently. When the things aren't fun, when they aren't dramatic, when they aren't exciting, when we just need to do the right thing again and again. I look at people's lives. I look at churches. I look at ministries. And often say, wow, look at them. All of a sudden, they're just an overnight success. And the majority of times you talk to those people, they're like, well, I might be an overnight success, but that night was really long. That we just see that, whoo, everything came alive, but we don't see the faithfulness, the hard work, the practice, the discipline that got to there. We just say, man, look at that. There's a church out in California that's doing all this music that's getting played over all the radios, and they're like, wow, you've become this overnight success. And they're like, we've been making music for 16 years. And it's just been the last few that all of a sudden God's taken and used it in a new way. They just patiently did the right thing with their music program. But what does this look like? It looks like holding on. What does he say here? What does Jesus say? Hold on to what you have. Hold on to what you have. And I was thinking about that. Well, that's a very ambiguous statement, Jesus. What do we have? Could you give me a bullet point list, Jesus? And we don't have it in here, but when we look at the whole of Scripture, we can see what we have. And it could be a really long list, but I want to just break it down to three things to hold on to that we have. The first is truth. That is a gift. When we have a revelation from God that has been proved over thousands of years, that is a gift. We have the truth of the Lord. Jesus says, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus embodies that truth. So we need to hold on to faithful witness of how things really are. That this world is not all there is. That there is eternity. There is a God who loves you. There is redemption through Christ. Hold on to the truth that God loves you. We also have something which I think is really awesome, and that's wisdom. We have the wisdom beyond this world. The wisdom of this world says, watch out for number one. Well, that is very short-sighted wisdom. The wisdom of God is so much more complex and nuanced and functions for the long haul as we endure patiently. We need to seek out, understand, follow the wisdom provided by God in God's revelation. Hold on to what you have. And then finally, we are given the gift of faith. The gift of belief, of holding on to what we don't have yet, but we know is coming. Holding on to what the truth says is there, but isn't yet realized. The faith that God gives us and can grow in our lives. I was thinking about these three things, and after I wrote them, I looked at the sermons coming up this fall and into the winter. And I've been developing, really, the preaching from now till Easter. And I was like, you know, this is what Sunday morning preaching is about, is the truth. Come September, we're going to look at the major world religions. How do we interact? How do we understand? What does it mean for us? And you know, there's truth and wisdom in that. Then we're going to look at a whole series of good advice. In Proverbs, it says, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise person listens to advice. So what is the advice? What is the wisdom? And just going to break that into all different areas of parenting, of finance, of relationships, of holidays. You know, what is some good advice? What is some wisdom we can have? In Advent, we're going to look at lies versus light. Again, that distortion of the truth that we so often hear and how it can take us in the wrong places versus the truth and the light that can shine into our lives and into this world. And then come the beginning of next year, excited about a sermon series of I want to believe, but the things that can hinder our faith. But there's pain and suffering in the world. But I don't get what I want. But religion's just no fun. All these things that can block in our faith. So I'm really excited about how here as a church we can hold on to these things by gathering, by growing together. And then if you get in September, we're going to start our encounter groups again, where you get together with other people and you talk about it, you wrestle with it, you think about it, you pray and you encourage, and it helps us to hold on to what we have. But we don't just hold on. We hold on to what you have and grow in what God offers. Endure patiently. Hold on to what you have and grow in what God offers. I encourage you to make being here a priority. I know most of you do that. I encourage you to invite and encourage others to be here. Because what we strive to do as Emmanuel Reformed Church is really help others with the ways of Christ. Help each other follow Christ and live that abundant life. As we hold on to what we have and we grow in what God offers. To anyone who has an ear, hear what the Spirit is saying. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your truth, your wisdom, and the faith that you give us. Help us to hold on to this. Help us to be encouraged in this. Help us to encourage others in this. Help us to share this with others, that others may know the joy, the peace, the hope, the love that comes from you. Lord, we just marvel at what you're doing in our lives and what you're doing in this world. Help us to be part of that evermore for your glory. Amen and amen.